Just 5 minutes after the 11 o'clock hour. Good Tuesday morning, Northern Colorado. Welcome into the program. Back in the saddle today. We were off yesterday. We were golfing. I had, Angel, my goal to going into this thing was to have, for me, 5 to 10 good shots that I feel that I felt pretty good about. I think I achieved that, if you count putting. Because I was putting pretty well. But we were at the Prairie Dog Classic yesterday, thanks to the Greeley Chamber of Commerce, put on an excellent event. I'm not the biggest golf guy in the world, but I had fun. It was a good group. So, yeah, that wasn't bad, but we were off yesterday. Felt really bad for the people that were golfing in the afternoon. Because it was hot for us in the morning, and then just awful the further we went. I think we wrapped up at like 1:30 or 2 or something like that. But glad to be back here in the air conditioned studios. That's fantastic. The Aloe Fiber Studios. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. If you guys want to get at the program today, shoot us a text. So did you see that Russell Wilson practiced at Folsom Field with Shedeur Sanders? Primetime is out there. All that. It's cool. I know already reading it and seeing the tweets and seeing the videos that everybody's going to...
You ever done anything dangerous?
Yeah, go off on it, make fun of it, call it out. However, I did... There was a picture that I saw of Russell Wilson standing right next to Primetime. And I thought to myself, Angel, I said to myself, self, are those the two most overhyped sports figures ever that have come to Colorado? Now, I've got some people like, Brady, you remember David Thompson? There was a lot of hype there. I wasn't alive. No, I wasn't around. But I can't imagine the David Thompson hype was anything close to what we saw with Russell Wilson. What we saw with Primetime. Certainly not with Primetime. And then someone brought up Peyton Manning. Was that hyped as much as... So, of course, Angel, you know how it goes. I ask a question to the Hooligans. They don't like the question. So then they start changing the question. And now we got to add a bunch of... No, the question was about Primetime and Russell Wilson. Who was surrounded by more hype once they became a Colorado sports figure? Russell Wilson or Deion Sanders? Who would you say? I mean, I know we're in the thick of it with Primetime right now, and it's easy to just go Primetime, but remember how crazy it was last year. Let's ride. You had the coach. Wow. I just forgot his name.
To answer your question.
I forgot his name.
I've kind of, you know, I've seen a few different moments in Colorado sports history where it just feels like everything is centered around this player or this team. You saw it with Tebow, you know, the Tebow mania and all of that. Like, that 8 weeks in Denver was the craziest thing ever. Mm-hmm. I remember, like, experiencing that as just a casual fan. I remember when Peyton Manning came to the Broncos, and I knew it was a big deal because it was Peyton Manning, and he hadn't been out. He'd been hurt, and he was looking for a fresh start, looking to go to a new team. And I remember that excitement and the expectation of it. With Russell, I felt more expectation than excitement because a year ago today we were talking how many Super Bowls will Russell Wilson win in Denver.
Mm-hmm.
Then you compare that to what we're seeing with Deion. I still think Deion's just a little bit over that because of
it's the
mix
time.
Of expectations and excitement.
Yeah, so with Peyton Manning, everybody was pumped. But I don't even know that you can use the word hype necessarily because – Yeah, well, there was still legitimate concern that was discussed about coming back from 4 neck surgeries. Can he be the same quarterback that he was? That was not a question for Russell Wilson. That was not, how can he respond with this offense? Nathaniel Hackett, by the way, is the name we were looking for. Boy, that lasted so long, I forgot his name. There wasn't really a question mark of, can Russell Wilson do it in a different offense outside of what the Seahawks did for so long? Yeah, maybe that was a question, but it wasn't a concern necessarily at this point last year. Peyton Manning's was a legitimate concern. He had just come off of 4 neck surgeries that kept him out the entire season beforehand. That was a legitimate concern. So, yes, there was hype and there was excitement, but there was also fear and worry that it wasn't going to work out with the injury. So, I remember I didn't have a sports show at that time when Manning first got here. So it was a little different for me because we weren't talking about it on a daily basis. Russell, we were talking about it on a daily basis. Primetime, we've talked about it on a daily basis. You talk about the Tebow hype. There was a lot there too. There was a lot. But I'm telling you, when they traded for Russ, it turned into, oh, the savior has arrived for the Denver Broncos to get them back where they need to be. The head coach couldn't even pretend to be a head coach because he was so starstruck by the notion of Russell Wilson and Sierra and all of that stuff.
Well, I can tell you from an outside perspective, just looking at the Broncos, the last few years, I always kind of got the sense that they felt that they were just the quarterback away. That, okay, the defense has always been there, but ever since the Super Bowl, we have been looking to replace Peyton Manning. And we haven't done that yet. And if we just get the quarterback to replace Manning, everything's going to be fine. And they put all of those hopes and dreams on Russell last year.
They did. And there's some truth to being a quarterback away from at least being a playoff team. But there's also some untruths. Because you are looking at a situation where the offensive line has not been very good over the last few years.
Does that take away focus from the actual issues on the team?
Yeah, the offensive line hasn't really been good for a while. I mean, with Peyton Manning, it was good, and a part of that was he put everybody in the right position. But think about this. Like, we talk about Dalton Reisner, how cool that was and how neat of a story that is. Dalton Reisner, local guy, is going to be a part of a Broncos organization for 4 years where they were terrible. They weren't very good. And so a neat story with him, but that was it. It was just a story. Garrett Bowles had bad year. Oh, great year, bad year, okay year, whatever. Nobody was really lighting the world on fire when it came to the offensive line. This year might be different. Somehow, some way, with all the money that they've poured into Russell Wilson and Sean Payton, they found room for Mike McGlinchey and Ben Powers. And maybe it is better. But with the Broncos brass, the fan base thinking, man, it's just a quarterback away, the Russell Wilson thing just added to that. Are the Buffs a head coach away?
No.
But that's how it feels, doesn't it? Like, oh, we just got to get the right guy in charge, and we can change everything. That's a tough one for me. I think you're right. You said primetime. You'd vote for primetime.
Mm-hmm.
I would vote primetime at this stage has more hype around him. A lot of that's because he created more of it. Russell Wilson was doing Subway ads and Let's Ride, but nothing like what we've seen with primetime. No 30-minute speeches about how he's bringing Louis with him.
Well, it feels like Prime is almost creating his own legacy. He did the stuff at Jackson State and in the NFL and all of that, but now he is going into this coaching world, and he is trying to make it his own thing and be Prime Coach Prime and make that his own thing. What with Russell is, we're going off of his legacy in Seattle. We're going off everything we've seen him do, and now we're, okay, what's next? For Dion, it's, what are you going to do? Russ, it's, what's next for you?
Yeah. Well, this is the chance for Dion, too. Like, we haven't seen him at this level. Mm-hmm. So there is a little bit of a scapegoat for him this year. It's like, well, this was your first year coaching at this level. Russell Wilson, you've been playing at this level. You've been playing at a high level for so long. You were so bad last year. The questions now are, was it all what Pete Carroll created around you? Is that what it was? He has a lot of questions to answer. And you know, the other thing with Russ's promotion, it was just weird. You know, primetime, you and I can argue over if it, is it good or bad, but tell you what, it wasn't necessarily weird. He just comes in, he's confident, he's got a lot of just this positive air around him. Russell comes in and it's like all the things that I think some of it was a little overboard, but it was still just kind of corny and goofy, you know, like Let's Ride. The showing up to practice in his jersey. I didn't think that was a big deal, but it was. The Subway ads, that kind of thing. You don't really see him primetime do that kind of thing as far as promotion.
I mean, he did all that already in the NFL. He already promoted himself for 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
Now it's just he shows up and everyone knows who it is.
Yeah.
Russ, he has to walk in the room and say, hey, I'm Russell Wilson. What's up, guys? That's right.
Was it a good move for him to go to work out with the Buffs and Shador and be around primetime yesterday?
I won't say it's a bad move. I don't know what the immediate results would be of that other than, okay, you have Buffs and Broncos fans getting along for half a second. That's fun.
Wonder what the reasoning behind it was. Yeah, was Russ...
I mean, maybe there's a commercial they're putting out in a couple of weeks or so. And hey, I'm Russell Wilson. Hey, I'm Deion Sanders. Come watch football.
Yeah. Well, and then you're going to get the naysayers like, oh, look at Russ. He's going to go get...
Oh, he's riding his coattails.
He's going to get better at football by practicing with a college football team that won one game last year. Like,
well, then if you get Russ with Deion, what does that do to Deion? Does he start to get some flack? I can't believe he did a video with Russell Wilson.
Is Russell Wilson becoming a pariah right now? Like, is it a bad career move to connect yourself to Russell Wilson?
If your name is not Future, yes. Yeah, Future will drop his name in a song.
What's happening with that? Fill me in.
I don't know a lot.
Did he used to date Sierra?
Yes.
Did they have a kid together?
Possibly.
Is that their first kid?
Maybe.
Okay. I don't know. I know
he did put out a new song that he slandered Russell a little bit.
Dude, what did he
said, I left it on the field, F Russell.
What does that
Whatever
mean?
That means. I don't know.
I read that too, and then I'm going, did they have a relationship? Did he know Sierra? Is that the dad? I honestly don't know. I know Russell, everything I've heard, has been an amazing dad or parental figure to Sierra's first child. Good positive stuff there, but I don't know. It's a weird deal. But it just got me thinking, man, who would have thought 2 years in a row? You're talking Russell Wilson's your quarterback. Only 6 years removed from Peyton Manning as your quarterback. So at that time, we're like, man, we're kind of getting spoiled here. Just 6 years ago, you had Peyton Manning, and you had John Elway before that, several years, obviously.
And you had Brock Osweiler waiting.
But you could go into the history. If it does end up working out for Russell Wilson in Denver, you're going to be able to look back in the history and go, wow, the Broncos might have some of the richest quarterback history ever. John Elway, Peyton Manning, and Russell Wilson, if it works out with Russ. Because Elway's a top five and Manning's a top five.
Can the Broncos claim that they didn't draft those guys?
Yeah, Elway? Mm-hmm. Yeah, they didn't draft him, but he was there his whole career.
But are they Broncos quarterbacks?
Peyton Manning would tell you that he's a Broncos quarterback. Like, he retired as both. He put his name in the hat.
That doesn't say he's a Bronco. That says I'm a Bronco and a Colt.
Yeah, no, I think it counts. Yeah, it counts as some of the... Because what did Manning do while he was here? He sure. won a Super Bowl.
Lost a Super Bowl, too.
Had he not won a Super Bowl, maybe it's not like decorated with the richest history, but I mean, he achieved almost as much as he did in Indianapolis in 4 years with Denver. Look at the numbers that he put together. All the AFC West championships, two AFC championships, one Super Bowl. So, yeah, I think that Manning goes into that's the story of the Broncos and the history, especially how connected he is now with the team. Russ would be the same situation if you can win with him. If the Broncos somehow in the next 5 years get into the playoffs regularly, win somehow a division championship, and maybe even win a Super Bowl in this thing, yeah, you're going to look at it and go, the Broncos have had some of the most decorated quarterbacks ever. I mean, you're going to put them up there. You think about like the Packers with everything that they've, all the guys, the Favres, the Rodgers, all that over the years, they would be in that category. And these were the conversations we were having last year. This was certainly one of it. It was like, wow, Elway, Peyton, Russ, three Hall of Famers right there, all brought a Super Bowl to the Denver Broncos. It's a fine story, but there's a lot of work that needs to be done. And I think it gets better, but I don't know that it necessarily gets better because Russ is just better. Or if it's Russ is the kind of quarterback that really needs a coach, that really needs a Sean Payton and a Pete Carroll type of guy. Which is also why the Nathaniel Hackett, hiring him Nathaniel Hackett and then trading for Russell Wilson was so interesting. Because you are now pinning both of their careers onto one another, essentially. And Hackett's career will now forever be stained by trading for Russell Wilson because, Angel, the Broncos won five games last year. If they would have won five games with Drew Lock, would Nathaniel Hackett have been fired?
Probably not, but I'll ask you, what if Hackett has success with Rodgers in New York? Then does Wilson become what happened with that combination there.
If it were,
does that put the blame on Russ that Russ couldn't figure it out with Hackett, or is it just Hackett went back to his old buddy and they were old friends?
Yeah, I think they, because Hackett's biggest issues as the season evolved weren't necessarily mismanaging Russell Wilson. Maybe, but a lot of the stuff was, you know, the in-game decisions, and he developed some interesting plays once in a while. There were guys that would just get wide the hell open. You know how hard that is to have two or three plays in a game where a guy just slips by and he has nobody near him? Not because he beat him, but because the play design was just so good that it confused the defense. He had two or three of those that happened. Sometimes Russ would hit it and sometimes he didn't. So, I mean, he had moments, but I don't know, because it's Hackett and Rodgers. Rodgers is still Rodgers.
It's interesting. It's a hypothetical because it could go either way at this moment.
Or
we don't
the
know.
Opposite happens, right?
Right.
What if Rodgers is terrible, mm-hmm. and it's like, maybe Hackett is the issue? Because before, when he was in Green Bay, Rodgers was there well before Hackett was there, so it's already established what he can do. He's called more shots than Hackett. Well, now they're both new to this Jets world. And maybe being both new, you really got to rely more on Hackett to figure stuff out. Yikes. And then it doesn't work out. That would actually help Russell Wilson's case. If Aaron Rodgers comes out and he's just awful, he just starts missing wide open guys to the right for a game-winning touchdown.
God, we need Nate back. No, not Nate. Jerry.
You need Jerry back, yes. I was weird with the Sean Payton thing and bringing him in because of the trade and his past and all of this stuff. But the more we get into this, the more I wonder if this is exactly what Russell Wilson needs, is more of that authoritative coach that can run the show and not be so quick to be like, whatever you need, man. You need an office? Done. You want to run this? Great. You want to go from the shotgun all the time? Awesome. We can do that. We can do anything you want. Sean Payton's like, this is it. Do it. If you don't do it, then there's the door. Because we all know the Broncos aren't married to Russ. They have the contract and everything, but they can work their tail off to get out of this thing if this upcoming season is an absolute debacle. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. All right, Angel, let's get to the good, the bad, and the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. I heard Tanner this morning on Good Morning NoCo, and it is good, but it's not that good. The Rockies beat the Yankees in a series. It was the first time the Yankees had been to Colorado in a couple of years now. They beat them during the big Taylor Swift concert weekend, so the Rockies stole back some of the limelight. Yeah, it's good for the Rockies to win a series. Does it mean anything? Not really. Do it again.
It's a good way to start the second half of the year.
Yeah, I mean, if they do it again, you got a two-game series coming up with Houston, go win both of those games. And then whoever the next series, go win that series. Then win about three more series, and then I will go,
Something's going on over here.
Something's going on over here. But I got to give it probably 3 to 4 weeks of what we saw in the Yankee series. It was crazy. That was crazy. I'm going to say the bad for me is the Shohei Ohtani thing, because if you're the Angels, why would you? Does he want out? Does Shohei Ohtani want out? Because if you're the Angels, dude, you have, as Tanner puts it, already the greatest player of all time on your team.
I don't know. I don't know if he strikes me as that type of player.
I know he wants
I'd
money.
Have to look that up, but it feels like he just wants to play baseball.
Yeah, he definitely wants a fat contract. We do know that. That's going to be in the mix. But if you're the Angels right now, you're in a decent spot at this stage.
I mean, they've kind of just been floating on Mike Trout's popularity the last few years, and his is fading, and Ohtani's on the rise, and if he gets moved out of L.A., Angels might not have a player that people will go watch.
Yeah, that's the tough part. And they're like a 500 baseball team right now. And so this is the Nolan Arenado dilemma, and I get it, Shohei's way different. It's the Nolan Arenado dilemma, though, where it's like you have this amazing player that's one of the best third basemen ever, but what is it doing for you? Shohei's one of the top hitters, one of the top pitchers. What? That shouldn't be that question. That shouldn't be what is it doing for you. are the Angels just that bad outside of Trout and Shohei, or what is it? Can't seem to put it together because they're one game under 500. They should be that should be a playoff team. But that's just a weird, not necessarily bad situation, but whatever. The ugly situation, and I'm going to say this, and I want to get on this later on, the running backs. I love running backs. On offense, it's my favorite position, aside from a quarterback that's more like a running back. You know, like a Lamar Jackson type guy.
It's not a quarterback.
He's an MVP. He's an
MVP. Like 7 years ago.
He's an MVP. I don't think he's. Has he been in the league that long?
No.
He's an MVP and he's like his own agent. He is the true unicorn. He's his own agent, too. Lamar Jackson is perhaps the most electrifying man in all of sports and entertainment. Point is, I love the running backs, but you got to understand your market. The NFL is its own economy, and positions fade. Fullbacks fade. Tight ends change over time. Shannon Sharpe made the tight end situation and Tony Gonzalez and Antonio Gates really valued, and it went up. Left tackle position is really valued. The quarterback has become even more valued. Pass rushers, more valued. More valued than middle linebackers.
Oh, yeah.
There used to be a time where it was like, middle linebacker is the position.
Ray Lewis, anyone?
Yeah, even before that, it was like, Butkus and all these guys, it was like middle linebacker. That's football, man. Good luck going over the top and going over the middle of the field.
Well, that's what it was. It was linebackers and running backs. And now,
changed.
Where are we at? It's quarterbacks and receivers.
Right. Quarterbacks and receivers. I love the running backs, but like Christian McCaffrey to tweet out that it's criminal that Barkley's not, that Dalvin Cook's not getting a deal, and Barkley's
getting
tagged.
They're not signing them because it's, oh, I don't think they're talented enough. It's, I'm not paying you that much money. We'll get into it, but I'm not paying you that much money for, I don't know, a game or two that you might be healthy.
Well, and how much are you impacting the game? I mean, I'm paying a quarterback this much money, and I want to hand it off 30 times a game?
Pacheco for the Chiefs had like 78 yards and a touchdown in the Super Bowl. It's not a massive game, but it's a solid game for your running back.
Yeah.
It's not saying you don't need a running back to win, but you don't need the highest talent, highest paid $20 million running back to win it.
And so a lot of this is sparking with, you got Monday's deadline for franchise players to agree to long-term contracts passed without deals with Barkley, Saquon Barkley, with Josh Jacobs, and with Tony Pollard. And then you've got Dalvin Cook's not signed yet.
Cook is still a free agent. Elliott is still a free agent.
Like, I'm a little stunned by some of these. But it makes sense. This is the way the league is going. This is the way the league is evolving. It's not to say the running back position just goes away, but we're seeing it change dramatically. And Christian McCaffrey tweeting out that it's criminal. What did he say? I have it pulled up in front of me here. I did. He said, this is criminal. Three of the best players in the entire league, regardless of position. Is Saquon Barkley one of the best players in the NFL?
Did he just get through his first full season being healthy?
Yeah. I mean,
I like Saquon Barkley. He's awesome.
I do too.
That dude has not been healthy his entire career.
I love all of those running backs that we're talking about here. And yeah, Josh Jacobs was
my guy.
The beast. You know, 1,600 yards for him last year.
Love Josh Jacobs.
Saquon Barkley had 1,300 yards in 16 games. An amazing year for him. But has that put him up
there?
That's
one out of his 4 years in the league.
Yeah. We have yet to see him be a consistently good running back at this stage. Now, again, I love Saquon Barkley. But you just said it. Is this 4 years for him?
Fourth or fifth.
He has 1,800 yards. He had 1,800 yards accounted for in 2022. That's a good chunk, and that was his best year. There's no question about it. But before that, that was the big concern for him. You know, his rookie year, he had 1,300 yards. His second year, he had 1,000 yards. He only played in two games in 2020. He only played in 13 games where he had only 600 yards rushing. So of his career, he has played five seasons in the NFL. Three of those, he's been a 1,000-yard rusher. Two of those, 13, well over the 1,000-yard mark, so 1,300 years, or 1,300 yards, and then 2 years that were bad because of injuries. That's not necessarily best player in the league to me. Even 1,000 yards, dude. You know who else had 1,000 yards in two seasons in a row?
Philip
Lindsay. Okay? So the first 2 years, neat. You got 1,000. 1,000 is the threshold. You have to get 1,000 yards as a running back. Now, I know he was a receiver as well. So that was a big thing for him. He had 721 yards his rookie season. His rookie season was good. He played in a lot of games. But he's only had two seasons where he's actually played the full season. And then it was 13, 13, and 2. So, great player. Again, not taking anything away from him. But the idea that the NFL is somehow screwing over running backs...
Well, they're throwing the word collusion around.
That's not the case. It's just a position that's not as hot as it used to be. That's sad for me. I love seeing a good run game. But at this stage, you have to call it what it is. The value is not there because I'm paying my quarterback to do what? Throw and run. Anytime I consider a quarterback that I'm paying mega millions to, if I'm not putting the ball in his hands more often than not, I am losing both on the field probably because they're my best player, but you're also like not cash it in. 32 minutes after the hour, that was the good, the bad, the ugly presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. Let's take a quick break here. It's the whole show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
Mr. 700 Plus Wins is on KFKA. Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick. Weekdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, this is Terry Fry, author, journalist, screenwriter, and you're listening to Brady Hull on The Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Angel, if you just look at sheer numbers and how many times you have a quarterback touch the football. So just look at, let's just do the top 10 examples in the NFL. Patrick Mahomes threw the ball 648 times. Justin Herbert threw it 699 times. Tom Brady, 733. Kirk Cousins, 643. Joe Burrow, 600. You get all in the 600s there, typically. Running backs, the highest as far as the guy that carried the ball the most was Derrick Henry, obviously. 349. Now, again, they get receptions and do all those things, but as far as just being a running back in this day and age, Derrick Henry is in a rare, rare situation. There's not any running backs this day and age where you're just like, that's the bell cow, and he's going to run it 350 times a season, and we're probably not going to throw him any passes very often.
Did you put Chubb in there as well?
Yeah, he was third on the list. By a pretty big margin, though. Derrick Henry and Josh Jacobs were both in the 340s. Hmm. Chubb was at 300. And he played in one more game than Derrick Henry. Huh. So, and the point is you need to be Christian McCaffrey. Like, McCaffrey saying it's criminal. It's like, Christian, dude, I get you're sticking up for your guys. But you do what the NFL wants running backs to do. Is you're just as big of a threat as a receiver now.
And he's had just as many injuries as any other running back.
Yes. And that's the other thing.
But it's his on-field value that makes him, that got him that big contract with San Francisco.
And that's the other thing, is it's, you get hit more. Quarterbacks don't get hit. They throw the ball 600-plus times, and then they might run it 100 times a year or something.
But when they do get hurt, it's a big issue.
Yeah. That's why you spend so much money trying to protect him and make sure he's all good and everything. And you spend so much money on offensive linemen, but also tight ends that can get quick little two-yard catches so you don't have to keep your quarterback with the football in his hand in the pocket for so long.
Well, how good is your – you could have Derrick Henry in the 32-ranked offensive line. How good is he going to be?
How good is he going to be? That's the question. He might be still okay because he's that tough, but you put him behind a bad offensive line.
And you're making him run 30, 40 carries a game just to get over 100 yards.
Yeah.
Because I saw him do that in college.
And you
would run 45 times a game.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy that could probably, I don't know if he could do that much now, but yeah, you could still put him behind an offensive line and just give him the ball enough. Or just out of sheer determination, that guy's going to fall forward for a few yards. But that's a lot to pay for a guy to just fall, try to fall forward. You need a guy that can be just as big a threat as a runner as through the air. I mean, that's the truth. And so if I'm looking at it going, I can only pay about four guys on my team big time money. Is running back one of those guys, or is it quarterback, left tackle, pass rusher, and some kind of weapon on the offensive side, or maybe a defensive back?
It's all of those.
It's all of those. And that's not even to say, okay, I'm paying one good wide receiver, but I need a tight end too. I need two defensive backs that can shut down the other team's top wide receivers. The priority
list. I need a
defensive
tackle that can hold the middle of the line.
Like, what is the position tier right now? Like, quarterbacks are in this, like, as far as how much money they make. We know it's quarterbacks, left tackles. It's just the running back is now your least sought after position. And everything that we just mentioned is why you are not going to be a top priority. You know, Christian McCaffrey's making $16 million per year. Kamara was at 15. Dalvin, before he was released, was at 12.6. That's about right. You're not going to get much higher than that.
So the tiers right now in terms of spending, it's left tackle at one, quarterback, followed by either receiver or tackle.
So
running
just
back is
right
fairly
tackle.
Low on that list in terms of offense.
Yeah.
Well, the you only thing even lower said, than that is the fullback.
You even say, well, it makes sense.
And I'd say you see more fullback usage, at least coming up more and more. You're seeing more teams do it.
Why is that?
Because they can do more things.
And they can protect. They can also protect the quarterback.
And they're cheap.
You got another offensive lineman back there that can also maybe catch a pass or two once in a while. It can also maybe run for 2 or 3 yards. But his number one thing is I got an offensive lineman in the backfield right next to my quarterback.
You could sign him on a 3-year deal for $4 or $5 million a year. They're not going to get hurt as much because they're not. You know, they're not putting themselves in that situation as much. Yeah, they're blocking. Yeah, they might run a few times, but they're not getting 30 carries like a running back would.
No.
So you have them for a longer time. They can stay in your system longer. They become ingrained in their system, and their value just grows more and more.
You could ask 20 random football fans, and these are good football fans. You could ask them, rank your top 5 positions needed. You got money is not an option. You've got all the money you need, no salary cap. What's your position you're working on? What's number one?
Quarterback.
I got to have a quarterback. What's number two?
Pass rush.
Who's going to get to their quarterback? Because you on the guy I'm competing against just answered the same thing, number one, and said quarterback. So now I got to get to your quarterback. And some might say pass rush, or some might say left tackle or whatever.
I would go third would be my left tackle to stop your pass rush.
Yes. Number four?
A receiver.
Give him a weapon.
Yep.
Give my best player a weapon. Number five?
Probably a safety.
You go safety?
I would go defensive back just to get someone back on that end. See, either that or defensive tackle.
I'd still probably go another tackle or another pass rusher.
Just with the market of D-tackles are getting paid right now,
oh,
it's a huge position of need.
Well, and it's not just to stop the run anymore. It's not just we just got to plug it in. It's to take away the middle of the field for the quarterback as well. A guy that can get up and Draymond Jones it and knock balls down. That is an asset now.
Quinnen Williams.
Yes.
He had like, what, 5-plus sacks last year?
So
it's because he can also get to the quarterback. It's not just the guys on the edge.
Not just plugging them in anymore, because we know a good running, teams are not going to get a big bruiser like Derrick Henry and just send him up the gut anymore. It's not going to happen. So mighty tackles are now expected to do different things than they did 5 years ago, even just 5-10 years ago.
It's not nose tackle anymore. It's just D-tackle.
Guys that don't, like, I think of the Broncos where they moved Derek Wolfe around all the time. He didn't really look like a D-tackle. 11:43 the time. We got to jump out real quick. Do want to shout out to Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. If you've been in Northern Colorado for even a short amount of time, chances are you or someone you know has been touched by the great work that they do at Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies. They have locations throughout the Front Range. They help me out. They help athletes out. They can help you out as well. OrthoHealth.com. 43 minutes after the hour, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Coloradoan, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
You know, we talk about Pooter Pet and Feet Supply a lot. They have so many unique things that are going on. They have this event coming up in July. Actually, like in the next day or two for summer deal. It is a cool deal. I mean, they have all their July deals that they're doing, just specials. And, I mean, they're constantly doing these. Buy three items and get $8 off. One trout and whitefish dog food, one from paint, and 1 6-ounce bag of Crunchios. I mean, again, it's just deal after deal that they're doing to make your pet the happiest pet. If you have a pet, chances are you want them to be the happiest pet that there could possibly be. And that's going to come in handy to know exactly where Pooter Pet and Feed Supply is located. They have six locations, Fort Collins, Windsor, and Loveland. Check them out. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show. Powered by PDC Energy. 11:47 the time. It's an interesting debate. The running backs. I mean, first thing I'm seeing with all these tweets from all these running backs is like, are they all going to go on strike now? Could you see
stuff like running backs, the running backs strike? Need to make a union and have what? Their own CBA in place?
It's a position that is falling out of favor by 32 teams in the league. When Derrick Henry retires, the Titans will change how they do business.
The Ravens changed their entire offense for Lamar Jackson, and now they just changed it back.
Yeah, they're going to change what they do. Teams are not going to make the running back their focal point anymore. Christian McCaffrey tweeted, "This is criminal. Three of the best players in the entire league, regardless of position. Derrick Henry, at this point, just take the running position out of the running back position out of the game then. The ones that want to be great and work as hard as they can to give it all. Like, take it out of the game. Oh, fine, don't call him a running back anymore. Just call him Deebo Samuel."
Oh, I think, you know, and the injuries. McCaffrey's had 6. Eckler's had 10. Barkley's had 8. Taylor with 5. Henry with 4. Pollard with 2. Nick Chubb with 4. Josh Jacobs with 7. Mixon with 8. These guys don't stay healthy.
And Austin Eckler's tweeting out, there's how many second string receivers are worse, they're getting paid more than me, and I'm more valuable.
When I can get two guys off the street that give me your same production for half the price, that's the answer.
And Austin Eckler is one of those, you can run and you can catch, but I'm not paying you to run anymore. I'm paying you to catch and then run in between. I mean, I'm just looking at the numbers from last year. The league has changed. Even when they're getting the carries, guys aren't busting it out like they used to. I mean, Josh Jacobs' longest run was an 86-yarder. That was amazing. But there's not a lot of those. There's not a lot of guys that are just going to be home run hits knowing
when
I
they
give
are
you the
those
ball.
Big runs, it's usually because the coverage got busted. Or
something weird happened and then they
you're
got through it.
You're not seeing foot races down the sideline anymore.
No, I mean, I saw Melvin Gordon get a long one last year, but it was because he just got congested at the line, and everybody was like, where the hell did he go? And then he kind of popped out, and everybody thought he was tackled in the scrum, but he got out. Weird stuff happens. It's just not in the stars anymore.
It's not to say it won't come back around if the rules end up changing again, but you have to play for the rules right now.
I think if you just go back and you look at 20 years ago, you were seeing numbers. Okay, let's do it. Let's go back. Give me 10 years ago. Let's go back to 2012. In the 2012 regular season, here's what it looked like. Adrian Peterson ran for 2,000 yards. Alfred Morris ran for 1,600 yards. Marshawn Lynch, 1,600 yards. Jamal Charles, 1,500 yards. Doug Martin, 1,500 yards. Arian Foster, 1,400. Stephen Ridley at 1,300. Now that's four players over 1,500 yards and six players at like 1,400 and above. Six players. Now, if you go to 2022 regular season, you've got Josh Jacobs, 1,600 yards, was the leading rusher last year, 1,600. Derrick Henry, 1,500. Nick Chubb, 1,500. Those were your three bell cows. And then everybody else was south of 1,400. Saquon Barkley, 13. Miles Sanders, 12. Then it was Dalvin Cook with just about 1,100. Justin Fields had 1,100 as a quarterback. He was in the top 7. Christian McCaffrey at 1,100. Ian Eddy at 1,100. Aaron Jones, 1,100.
So an average about 300-400 yards decrease in the last 10 years.
Yeah. And that's a big decrease. That's a big deal. And not to mention, you got Justin Fields in the top seven as a quarterback. 11:51 the time. Let's take a quick break here. It's a whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear Preps Talk and Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick, the fourth winningest coach in Colorado boys basketball history. Weekdays from 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Krista Mateo, your UNC women's basketball coach, and you are listening to The Whole Show, 1310 KFKA.
Kind of just another final note here as we're talking about the death of the running back position in the NFL. I'm just glancing at this, Angel. You have quarterbacks now that are obviously doing their thing, throwing the ball. Jalen Hurts ran for 760 yards last year. Justin Fields, 1,100 yards. That's what a good running back does nowadays.
Great running back season.
That's what Saquon Barkley did. Two of his 3,000-yard-plus seasons was just about 1,100 yards. That's what Justin Fields did last year. And he's not even a great quarterback. What else? I'm looking. Josh Allen ran for 762 yards. Daniel Jones, 708 yards. Lamar Jackson, 764 yards with just 12 games. Hey, hell, Taysom Hill, the tight end, ran for like 600 yards. That should tell you everything you need to know. Those kind of weird numbers were not the case in 2012. You weren't seeing guys. Now, the idea of a quarterback putting together a 1,000-yard rushing season is not far-fetched. I mean, Russ ran for like 300 yards last year, didn't he? They're picking up a big percentage of what you would pay a running back to do. It's kind of like, I hate to compare sports to the regular world, but if I got a guy like Angel that can produce a show, but then he can also go and host his own show and go sell, then why am I going to hire another show host and another salesman? Boom, I've got the complete package right there with Angel. If I do bring anybody on, I'm not going to pay him as much.
Can I clip that?
Exactly. But that's the thing, like... Oh, you're a running back, and what do? I run. Okay.
So does every other guy on this team.
I get 1,000 yards, guaranteed. So does my quarterback, and he's not even really good.
Well, and there's protections for quarterbacks. They don't get hit when they're running.
They don't get hit when they're
running.
They can slide.
They can go out of bounds. They can't even touch them above the shoulders.
They can do the old quarterback slide. What happens if Derrick Henry's running and does a quarterback slide? Does he get to – is that giving himself up?
Or just go through the earth.
Like, I don't think – if I'm like – I don't want my quarterback to get hurt, but I also know that if my quarterback takes off and runs, I got a good chance of if he pops out of bounds and they nail him, we got a big 15-yard penalty coming up. You go push Derrick Henry out of bounds and it's like it takes a wrecking ball to bring down a wrecking ball. All these things, and I don't even have like a sophisticated science up right now, but just the quick findings that we're seeing throughout the league. I got five quarterbacks that ran for nearly 700 to 800 yards or more. I got a tight end that did it. I got Deebo Samuel doing it as a wide receiver now. So the position is changing. Now we're talking about running back union and all this stuff. Like, it's a position that's fading, and it sucks. I hate it. But what are you going to do? You got to evolve, change your game. Pocket passing quarterbacks are a thing of the past. You got to be able to move. So that's what we're drafting. Second hour coming up next, we'll get to the lunch rush. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy, a Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.